A pilgrimage to the tombs of Saints Peter and Paul marks an important moment for many of the visitors who flock to Rome over this summer season from countries around the world, like the official delegation from the Orthodox Patriarchate of Constantinople, which comes to Rome each year for the feast of Saints Peter and Paul. So Christians of all denominations come here to pray at the tombs of these great saints. Church of England biblical scholar Dr. Paula Gooder is a member of ARCIC 3, the Anglican Roman Catholic International Commission, which held its second session in Hong Kong earlier in the spring. She's also a canon theologian at Birmingham and Guildford Cathedrals in the UK and has just been in Rome accompanying an international group of Anglican men and women clergy known as the Society of Catholic Priests. I caught up with her to find out more about this group and about her ecumenical hopes and vision in the wake of the recent ARCIC encounter. Dr. Paula Gooder, you're here in Rome on pilgrimage with this group of Anglican ordained men and women that was welcomed by Pope Benedict at his Wednesday general audience. Tell us a bit about this group you're leading and why this choice of name, the Society of Catholic Priests.
Well, the Society of Catholic Priests was founded in the 1980s within the Church of England. And their great goal at that point, and still remains, was to support men and women in holy orders within the Church of England in terms of ministerial formation and evangelism. So it's a society for support and care of people within the Anglican Church. But the Anglican Church, Church of England, is one which is a very broad church, and there are those who would define themselves much more towards the Protestant end of the spectrum and those who would define themselves much more towards the Catholic end of the spectrum.
So your society would be more towards the Catholic end,
yes, is that correct? Yes, that's right. And the choice of the name is very deliberately to indicate that it is more towards the Catholic end of the spectrum.
So founded in the 1980s and today has the same goals of supporting priests in ministry.
Yes, indeed so. And what is very important about the conference that we're here this week exploring is that it's the very first international conference of the Society of Catholic Priests. They now have provinces in America and in Australia.
Big numbers now belong to this society.
It's much larger than it was, but there are 80-odd people here on the conference. So it's a good spread of people, very interesting.
What is the focus of your conference, your meeting here? Why the choice of Rome for the location?
There are two reasons, I think, for meeting in Rome. One of them is that the members of the society are Catholic in inspiration, and therefore, of course, for anyone who is inspired by Catholicism, Rome is the place to come. The other reason is because we are studying St. Paul this week, and in particular we are looking at Paul's Roman life and experience. And so the work that I've been doing with the society this week is exploring both Paul's life, but also his letter to the Romans. And so we've been reading our way through the letter to the Romans. And then yesterday we had a wonderful day following in the footsteps of Paul in Rome. And we ended up in the Abbey of St. Paul outside the walls and had the most wonderful welcome of hospitality from the Benedictine brothers there. We prayed Vespers together.
The Basilica of St. Paul outside the walls has, of course, become something of a symbol of the ecumenical movement. How much is ecumenism a part of this week's focus for your meeting?
Well, I think ecumenism is always a focus. I mean, to a certain extent, this conference is simply a conference for the members of the Society of Catholic Priests. But especially if you come to Rome, and then especially if you go to the Basilica of Paul, you have your eye on ecumenical matters. And for us, what's very special about coming to Rome is the fact that it is possible to drink deeply from the wells of Catholicism. And one of the things I think many of us have felt is not only we felt enriched simply by being in Rome, but also by studying Paul through the lens of Roman Catholicism and seeing particularly the sites where Pauline devotion is particularly important. Because of course within the Church of England and the Anglican tradition, Paul is read both in a Lutheran way and a Protestant way, but also in a Catholic way. And so we feel that we've been deeply enriched this week simply by being here.
How important do you think is it, the study of our forefathers in the faith, if you like, going back to the roots, going back to the Gospels, going back to St. Paul and the saints? How important is this, do you think, for the ecumenical movement today?
Well, I'm a biblical scholar, so you would expect me to say hugely important. And of course, I think it is enormously important. And in fact, one of the things I think is one of the greatest gifts of ecumenism is our ability to sit together and study the scriptures and the early fathers, but particularly the scriptures, because it is our reading of the scriptures scriptures together that gives us that common life in Christ, which is so important for our ecumenical work.
You yourself, of course, are a member of ARCHIC 3, aren't you?
I am indeed, yes.
You were at the recent meeting in Hong Kong to take forward these discussions on authority, how decisions are made, and the ethical questions that both communions are facing. Can you give us a sense of that meeting, what went on, and what you think perhaps were the results, the fruits of that meeting?
Well, I think we all found this second meeting of ARCHIC 3. The first meeting was one in which we were simply getting to know each other and to feel where we were going and to understand who each other were. I came away feeling from the second meeting enormously excited, because it felt as though we had begun to work out not only where we were going, but how we were going to do it. And it seems to me that one of the things that ARCHIC 3 may be working its way towards is an understanding of a slightly different ecumenical method, which is about the deep appreciation of each other's traditions.
What does that mean in practical terms?
Well, I think one of the things that becomes increasingly clear as we are engaged in these kind of conversations is that both from the Roman Catholic side, but also from the Anglican side, we have very superficial knowledge of the other's tradition. Obviously, some people have greater knowledge, other people have lesser knowledge, but regularly throughout the meeting, we were surprised and said, do you really think that, or have you really done that? And one of the really striking things, I think, about this meeting was a realisation that actually simply sitting and listening to what it was like to be a Roman Catholic and what it's like to be an Anglican, what it feels like, how we think about things, where we start, what processes we put in place, all of those things can really help us in our ecumenical method.
You're a group of 20 people, 10 on each side, yes, roughly speaking. How on earth can this little group of 20 people, if you like, bring their message to the wider church communities that you represent?
I think it's always the problem of international ecumenical conversations. And if you trace your way, even just looking at the previous ARCHIC reports, one of the striking things is the small group go on an enormous journey together and are themselves transformed. But one of the greatest challenges, I think, is being able to bring that process and that journey outwards into the greater church life. And it is one of those issues that we're very concerned with in ARCHIC 3 about how we might be able to draw other people into our conversations. And so I think what we are going to be trying to do is, rather than just produce one definitive report at the end, actually to send out papers and reflections so that people can see how where we are on our journey. And our great hope is that local ARCs, Anglican Roman Catholic dialogues in various places around the world, will pick those up and have their own conversations around them and then send their conversations back to us. So it's a method in which we sit in the hub and send out initial ideas, but then very much listen to the responses that come back and hopefully to weave that into the work that we're doing.
Because you're discussing some of the most difficult, some of the most controversial issues in both churches today, aren't you? Issues around pro-life, around sexuality. How are you tackling these, and what kind of message can you send to people, many of whom say it's hard to see how there will ever be any progress on this?
I think one of the things that became clear during this meeting, the meeting that we've just had, is that actually what we need to do in our ecumenical conversations is not so much focus on the decisions that have been made, because of course that's where we begin to diverge almost immediately, but to reflect on how the decisions are made in the first place. So one of the things that we became quite clear about is that while we'll be looking at these enormously controversial subjects, we're looking at the decision-making process rather than the end product. Although, of course, the end product comes into it, but the most important thing is the decision-making process. And actually to realise that Anglicans can learn a huge amount from the way in which Roman Catholics make decisions and vice versa, and that there is much to learn from each one of our traditions about how we get to the decisions that we get to.
It could be said that those decision-making processes are also perhaps the most controversial issues in the church today. Within the Anglican world, the search for some kind of central unity. Within the Catholic Church, the difficulty of relations between the Pope, the Curia, and local bishops' conferences. Again, you're touching on the heart of both churches' structure, aren't you?
Absolutely we are. I think that one of the things that is enormously helpful is simply to observe it and to reflect on it. And we almost certainly will not come to an absolute resolution in which we all suddenly fall into each other's arms and say, yes, of course, we're all right. But actually what's important is not, again, the end product, but the journey to along the way. And it seems to me that actually what Arcic 3 has embarked on is a very important and very significant journey. And despite the fact that it's controversial, and despite the fact we are unlikely to agree on certain areas, the journey is nevertheless worth making, I think, because if we can all join in that journey, we will be transformed as we journey along the way together.
What gives you most hope, most inspiration on this journey?
I think it is the faith and the devotion of the people that I see journeying with me. For me, one of the most special times in Arcic is the way in which we worship together. It is the daily worship in which, sitting alongside each other, I can observe, reflect upon, and be inspired by the deep faith of my brothers and sisters who are both Roman Catholic and Anglican. And it's in that that we have the inspiration, I think, for continuing.
And yet cannot share at the same table for communion, for the Eucharist.
Indeed so. And again, that brings you to an enormously painful place where you recognise both the inspiration of our traditions, but the great divide. And it seems to me that one of our callings as Christians, St. Paul in 2 Corinthians 4 regularly talks about carrying the death and the life of Christ around within the body. And it seems to me that Arcic 3, what it is that we're doing is we are illustrating that actually in the way in which we're carrying about our conversations. We are fully aware of the pain and the heartache of the divisions between our churches, and yet at the same time we remain inspired and excited about the life that we see springing forth both in the Roman Catholic Church and in the Anglican churches. And it therefore is we're living out Paul's great vision of the carrying of the death and the life together, so that life springs forth in the recognition of where death and heartache lies.
My thanks there to Canon Paula Gooder, a member of Arcic 3, the Anglican Roman Catholic International Commission, who was accompanying the Society of Catholic Priests on pilgrimage here to Rome.